Hello, and welcome to Couch Conversations. We explore life, love, relationships, and everything in between. Joining us today is Dr. Deidre Sorrell, who is a psychologist and owner of Synergy Wellness in Maryland. As you may have remembered, she was a previous guest on our conversation about colorism. And because we had such a great conversation and she provided us with so much wonderful information, I just really wanted her to come back and be a guest again. So today we will be talking all about embracing natural hair. As many of you know, there's been a movement and a shift about natural hair, and over the years, there's been ongoing conversations about, you know, what natural hair means in the community and really kind of moving to a place of loving our natural selves. So today we'll be talking all about natural hair, and Dr. Sorrell will be talking about her journey, and we'll be talking about the psychology of natural hair, and we'll just take this conversation to wherever it goes. So Dr. Sorrell, can you tell us a little bit more about yourself?
Yes, thank you so much for having me on the show today. I am really honored and just excited to be here to talk about one of my favorite topics, which is natural hair. So just to tell you a little bit about myself, I am a licensed professional counselor. I have a practice in Waldorf, Maryland called Synergy Wellness Therapeutic Services. I'm also a school psychologist. I worked for DC Public Schools for many, many years, and I still work as a school psychologist as a contractor. So I'm very busy doing testing and assessment of children, as well as doing therapy with children and adults. And I find that in my practice, the topic of hair, well, self-esteem with regard to hair and skin color come up a lot. So I'm so glad that we're having this discussion, because this is something that's very relevant to the type of work that I do with many of my clients.
All right. Well, welcome, welcome, welcome. So let's get into this conversation. So let's start out with just talking about natural hair. And when I think about natural hair, I think about, you know, this is the hair that is growing out of our scalp. This is the hair that we're born with. But perhaps you can shed some light on how you define natural hair and your initial thoughts are about it. And then we'll talk more about kind of your journey into returning to natural, because I think that it's not necessarily we're going natural, but we're returning to the hair that was initially we were initially born with. So let's get into it.
Okay, that's a very good question. What is natural hair? Because there are so many, there's a lot of discussion and debate about that. So my definition of natural hair is hair that has not been chemically straightened. And when I say chemically straightened, I'm talking about relaxers, perms, texturizers, things of that nature that weaken the bond of the hair by straightening it or even loosening it. There are some natural hair, and I say natural hair, I'm throwing up my finger quotes, natural hair products that are defined as softeners or curl looseners, and those are all mild relaxers, you know, if you read the ingredients on the back of the box. So natural is hair that has not been chemically straightened. Now, some people think that natural hair is hair that has not been colored as well. Well, I don't really agree with that. I think that you can color your hair and still be natural, and the reason I say that is because, say, you're in your 30s or 40s, and you have gray and you want to cover that up and you color it your natural color, does that mean that you're no longer natural if you cover your gray? So, you know, I think that even if you put some highlights in your hair, you experiment with different colors, I think that you're still natural. I get online and I see these debates going on all the time. People are very strict about what natural means. But, you know, I just really stick to that one definition of just not chemically straightening it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that definition. And it's interesting because you are absolutely correct. There are oftentimes lots of debates about what is and what natural hair isn't. And I think at one point people were terming it like the natural hair Nazi. Like these are people that are, you know, kind of like if you do anything to your hair, if you add a little color, you are officially not natural. And this is, you know, and so I love that you really defined it in a way that it's hair that's not been chemically altered. I have natural hair and I have some grays and they're popping up more and more. I swear every day there's a new gray hair that's popping up and I have chosen to add some color, some black to it, because I am not ready to embrace my gray hair at this point in my life. but I certainly still consider myself to be natural. But there might be others that might not. So, you know, I can respect the opinions of folks. So tell us about your journey and what really inspired you to return to naturals. To your natural hair.
Well, I'm so glad that you said return to natural. You know, because like you said before, you're not really going anywhere. You're returning to your natural state, the hair texture that you were born with. So I returned to natural twice. The first time was in 1999. I just finished graduate school. I just got my master's, and I was really influenced by the culture at the time. Lauryn Hill was very big at the time.
Her style.
And I really just saw like a change in our culture. Neo-soul was big. Poetry readings were big. It was a really good time. And there were women who were starting to go natural, even, you know, back in 99. And I was one of them. I really wanted to just really just see the texture of my hair, and I hadn't seen it since I was a little girl, and just really just explore that, the natural hair journey. So I did the big chop, went natural, and my hair grew back pretty long. But I found that I had a hard time finding a stylist and really finding good products. And at the time, sometimes you don't know that you're deficient if you don't know that more should be out there. So in 99, I didn't even know what I was missing in terms of hair products. I mean, I had the pink oil moisturizer. I had things of that nature. And I thought, okay, well, that's pretty much all that there is, so I will work with that. I had no idea that there would be a Shea Moisture or anything like that down the line. So I worked with what I had, and I did a pretty good job. But what I ended up doing was going to a texturizer a few years later. And it worked out really well, but then when it was time to touch up the texturizer, there was overlap with the chemicals, and it ended up a little bit too straight. And I also experimented with highlights, and it ended up going completely straight. So then from that point on, I went back to relaxing my hair. And I wore a relaxer for about 10 years. So that was about between 2003 and 2013. I wore my hair relaxed. And then I went back and did the big chop again after a big change in my life. I got my doctorate. I had some other health things going on. There was information that came out in the research literature that associated relaxers with uterine fibroids. And that was something that I was struggling with in terms of my health. So I decided to return to natural again. And I've been natural since December 2013. And I'm staying that way.
Good. So tell us about that, the journey of going back or returning back to natural. Did you do a big chop or did you transition?
Well, I did sort of like a transition slash big chop, just like I did back in 99. So I wore braids in 99 for about 8 months and then cut my hair off. And what I did in 2013, I wore a weave and then braids, I believe, and then did a big chop. And, you know, I did it for about 8 months. So when I did the big chop, I had about 4 inches of hair, but, you know, if you pull it out and you measure it to be 4 inches, it actually looks like 2 inches when due to shrinkage and things like that. So I just went from there and let it grow. And, you know, so here we are. Here we are.
Here we are today. And and your hair is beautiful, if I might add.
Thank you. So is yours. Yeah. So is yours.
Thank you. Thank you. So, and I asked you if you big chopped or you transitioned, because I know that for many women, that is, it's a difficult decision to make, because there's some women that will say, you know what, I'm just going to cut it all off and just start from scratch. And for others, like myself, who started off with fairly long hair, I initially struggled because I was not ready to let go of all my hair. And so I transitioned, and it was a painful transition. And in hindsight, I kind of wish that I just was courageous enough to cut it all off. So what are your thoughts about someone that might be struggling with, you know, doing the big chop or transition? Do you have an opinion about that, or are you more kind of whatever works for you?
You know, I think that every woman has to do what works best for her, for her lifestyle, and even with her hair texture, because in with certain hair textures, you might be able to just do a nice, you know, blow dry, flat iron, and transition, you know, pretty easily. For me, the difference in textures was a bit too much once I got a certain amount of new growth or natural hair, you know, and I wasn't going to the hairdresser every 2 weeks. I think if I had done that, then it probably would have been an easier transition for me. But I got to the point where I said, this is too frustrating. So let me just cut it off. I work out a lot, so it just got to be too much.
So okay.
It's whatever works. Yeah.
Whatever works. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I'm laughing because I'm thinking about the two textures, and I had the same issue where I had, you know, I remember at the time I would wash my hair, and, you know, part of my hair would be super, you know, curly or kinky, and then I would have like this straight hair dangling at the end, and it was just too much. But at the time, I was so unwilling to just cut it and let it go. But we'll save that for a different day. So let's talk about the reactions and the responses that you received from folks when you be returned to natural. What was that like?
Well, you know, it's very interesting how people can personalize someone else's hair journey. I find it to be funny. the first time I went natural in 99, again, a lot of people weren't doing it. It was a small movement. So I actually had some people who thought that I was depressed. some people questioned my sexuality.
Oh boy.
It was a very interesting time. So, you know, I was very, you know, clear and very sure about what I was doing for me at the time. And then when I went natural the second time, again, you know, weird responses, but I was working in an environment. I was working at a school, and a lot of my coworkers were Caucasian, and they loved it. I got so many compliments from them. I didn't expect that. I got many, many compliments from them, not many from my African-American coworkers. And my family, when I say family, I mean my husband was very supportive. My kids were very supportive, but my family in terms of, like, my parents, they didn't really say much about the return to natural. So, you know, it was interesting, but you know what? I expected to get some strange responses. I expected to hear, oh, you look better with a perm. You know, I expected to hear that. And I was prepared to give a response or not give a response.
Mm-hmm. So what kind of a response would you have for someone that said, oh, or, you know, you look better with your hair relaxed, or, you know, you would look better if you permed your hair?
Well, you know, I would say, you know, well, thank you for that, but this is what's best for me, and I love my hair in its natural state, and I appreciate my hair the way that it is. And usually the person has nothing to say after that, you know. Mm-hmm. And what I'm doing is I'm letting them know that their opinion doesn't, you know, of course they're free to have an opinion, but their mm-hmm. their opinion does not have any impact on the decision that I make for my hair, not their hair. Now, if I went and big chopped their hair, then that would be worthy of discussion, but for my hair and then for my health as well.
Right.
I find it funny when people like give opinions about what someone else should be doing with their hair. It's funny to me. Yes.
Exactly. And I think, you know, what you mentioned is that you're okay with you and you're okay with the choice that you made. And we'll talk more about that, you know, the idea of self-esteem, self-acceptance, because I think that the journey through natural hair is one where you have to be really comfortable with you, and you have to be accepting of yourself, because there are going to be people and critics that are going to have things to say about your natural hair, and you have to be very strong and grounded in your own self so that it doesn't matter what other people think or their opinions are. So we'll get into that. But before we do, I know that you mentioned that you felt like folks that you work with were very accepting, but I also know that, you know, folks will say that, you know, certain jobs or employers or, you know, working in corporate America, that they, you know, will receive flack for having natural hair or wearing their hair in certain natural styles. I know that, you know, we've seen several, you know, stories on social media, on the news, about even kids that, you know, for some reason the staff, you know, or a teacher, you know, told them that they couldn't wear their hair a certain way. And so that just enrages me so much. How do you think that people can deal with that? And what would you say to, you know, even parents who, you know, may have a kid and, you know, their school or the teacher has a problem with the way that they're choosing to wear their own natural hair?
Well, you know, and it enrages me as well to hear about this, because to me it's discrimination. But I think that for the instance of a child who's dealing with this discrimination, I would ask the parent to just kind of pull the student handbook or code of conduct, whatever dress code, whatever they have for the school system or the particular school. And I know that, you know, for most schools, there's nothing in the manual that has anything to do with natural hair. Mm-hmm. And if you want to get really technical, I mean, you know, really, really like attorney, I'm not an attorney, but if I was an attorney, I would say, well, natural hair would apply to a Caucasian person, you know, who hasn't, you know, put a, because Caucasians used to perm their hair back in the 80s where they would make mm-hmm. it curly, right? So a Caucasian person or a Latina or an Asian person who has not chemically altered the texture of their hair. So if that is acceptable for them, then it should be acceptable for someone who's African American or black. So, you know, I think that, you know, when you kind of have those facts, when you have what's in writing and you kind of use that to your advantage, then a school has nothing to stand on. And it does turn into something that is discrimination and can go to the civil rights. The NAACP can be brought into that or any other organization. And the mm-hmm. same for employers. Now, I think that with employers, it can be a little trickier, because for some jobs, they like to have a certain image. So mm-hmm. they have the misconception that natural hair is not sophisticated or polished or anything like that. And again, you know, there is a manual for employees, and that's something that I would look into and use that for human resources and to state my my case with that. But at the end of the day, it's all discrimination, and it's not based in fact. It's not based. It's just about someone who is being discriminatory against people who have hair. You know, as the Bible states, hair like wool.
Say that. I love it. All right. So so I think, you know, you've given us some things to think about when it comes to, you know, our kids or, you know, even in the workplace. I think that, you know, we have to really think about what is really being said and knowing our rights. But we need to take a quick break. But before we do, can you tell our listeners how they can connect with you?
Okay, I can be reached. My website is www.synergywellnesstherapy.com. I can also be reached on social media and on Facebook. I'm at D Sorrell, that's DeeSorrell. I can also be reached at Synergy Wellness Therapy on Facebook. And then on Instagram, I can be reached at Deidre Sorrell.
All right. So we will take a quick pause, and when we come back, we're going to dig deeper, and we're going to talk about the idea of texturism, and we're going to talk about self-esteem and self-acceptance and what that looks like. And hopefully Dr. Sorrell can give us some tips on how we can really feel confident about our natural hair. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Couch Conversations. Today we're talking about natural hair, and we are talking to Dr. Deidre Sorrell. And we are going to go into this segment talking more about kind of building self-esteem and self-confidence. And one thing that has often showed up when I think about natural hair is texturism. And when I think about texturism, I think about, you know, people will have different conversations about texture, right? Hair texture, because I see natural hair as just, you know, there's all these beautiful, you know, textures. There's a really curly, there's a tightly curly, there's a coily hair. And I just think it's a beautiful array of textures. And some people might call it kind of a grade of hair. So some people will have statements even within the natural hair community that, you know, if you have hair that is 3C, and 3C is considered very curly hair versus 4C hair, it's a tighter, more kinkier, as a kinkier texture. And oftentimes, you know, people will say things like, you know, my hair is too kinky or too nappy to go natural, or, you know, there's just all this belief and this narrative that folks will carry about texture, and it affects how they feel about themselves or even, you know, their ability or their willingness to consider going natural. What do you say about that, about texturism, and how can people be more accepting of different textures of hair?
Well, you know, I think the texturism is definitely real. And I love YouTube very much, but I think that YouTube and social media promote it a little bit, because when you look at videos and you look at the pictures and the face of natural hair, it's often someone who has a type that the coily, well, not really coily, but the curly F-type ringlet. I'm trying to think of an example of the hair texture that I'm speaking of. That would be like Tracee Ellis Ross, her type of hair. And I feel that in the natural hair community that you know, that type of hair that I think some people refer to it as like a 3A or 3B hair.
Yes.
That seems to be sort of held up as the, you know, the goal or what is considered beautiful, as opposed to 4A, B, or 4C hair. And I don't like to get into a lot of the typing, but that is what I'm using as a reference so that the listeners will know what I'm talking about. And 4C hair is considered to be the coiliest or the tightest curl. And, you know, that is the type of texture that I feel is seen as not really mm-hmm. desired in terms of what people want from their natural hair. So I do think that it does affect people's desire to go natural, because like you said, some people will say, well, my hair is too nappy to go natural. Mm-hmm. And I disagree. Again, that's the hair that we're born with. And that's mm-hmm. what I would encourage people to realize. This is the hair that you're born with. And when you learn how to, one, accept your hair, but two, when you learn how to work with your hair texture, you'll be able to find beautiful styles that work. I mean, there's so many styles. Natural hair is so versatile. Mm-hmm. It's healthier, of course, to be natural. Some people feel that they save money going natural. It's all about self-acceptance. And, you know, natural hair isn't just a hairstyle. It's a lifestyle. So when you go natural, at least for me, I found that I started to do other things that were healthier. I started to eat better. I started to look at the ingredients that I was putting into my body. I started to pay attention more to my health and fitness and my spiritual wellness. And I started to really just kind of think deeper in terms of what, you know, the importance of natural hair and why people of other races might be so intimidated by natural hair. Because let's really think about it. I mean, you know, what you brought up earlier about in the job place and in the schools, why are people so upset about natural hair? Why does it cause such a stir in people? So that's something that I've pondered since I've become natural.
Yeah, I mm-hmm. and thank you for saying that it's a lifestyle, because I think that it's so much deeper than just wearing your hair natural. And you talking about the idea of I am not only wearing my hair natural, but I'm choosing to be more aware of the foods that I'm eating and how I'm taking care of myself, perhaps what I'm putting in my skin, what I'm putting on my hair, all of those things can become a lifestyle. So it really is essentially thinking about yourself in a very healthy and a holistic way. So I really love that you talk mm-hmm. about that as being part of your journey. I'm curious about the idea of self-acceptance. And I will say that, you know, I think of natural hair as a journey, because you go through lots of things. And through the journey, I know for myself, I learned patience. I learned that I have to be patient. It's a process that I have to learn what products work for my hair. I have to learn that what styles I like. I have to learn, you know, that, you know, if I want my hair to grow out, it might take some time. There was so much to learn through the journey, and I'm so grateful that I had this journey of returning back to natural, because it really helps you to learn more about yourself. Mm-hmm. I am very curious about how you think that natural hair can help someone to learn more about themselves, and how did you come to a place of self? I know you alluded to it earlier about kind of self-acceptance and self-esteem and self-confidence, but how can people build that? How would you say, what kinds of steps, what kinds of things can people do in order to build their self-confidence?
Well, I really think that, you know, people have to be very intentional when they are trying to build their self-confidence. And when I say intentional, you have to understand that we're living in a world and a society that values Eurocentric beauty over Afrocentric beauty. So When you realize that, then you have to start to make choices about what you will, what you'll watch on television, or what you will pay attention to on social media. So I think that self-acceptance includes joining, like, say, Facebook groups that focus on natural hair, following people on YouTube who have hair similar to to yours. If your hair is not 3A, if you don't have hair that is, you know, full of loose ringlets, don't follow those. I mean, not to say that there's anything wrong with those ladies and that you can't, you know, kind of appreciate them, but those you can be frustrated trying to find a product that will make your hair look like theirs. So it's best to follow ladies who have 4C hair. And there are plenty of them who have beautiful and long, beautiful hair. If long isn't your thing, short, funky, edgy hair, or in the middle. So to follow those people on YouTube, Instagram, and to find a community of friends, there are natural hair meetup groups on the website meetup.com. that ladies can join, and they can get that support. Also going to, like, natural hair expos. I know there's one in New York every year. There's a natural hair festival in New York. Just immersing yourself in the culture so you don't really get caught up in the Eurocentric programming that goes on.
Yes, I'm so glad that you said that. You know, you can appreciate all different textures of hair, but if your hair is a certain texture, then why not then follow or appreciate or look at folks that have textures that are similar to yours, because then it helps you to appreciate, you know, you can kind of look at that person and say, wow, you know, this person has hair that looks like mine, and it's beautiful and it's gorgeous, and it really helps you to appreciate what you have. So I think that is a very good point that you made. In all of our conversations, I really like to bring in therapy into the conversation, because I think that therapy is a powerful tool in so many different areas of our lives. And natural hair is also, I think, one that therapy can be very useful. I remember, and I in my practice as a therapist, I have one client that, you know, I'd been seeing for a couple years, and she wore her hair natural, but no one has ever seen it. No one sees it. She covers it up with a weave or wigs, and there's absolutely nothing wrong with wigs or wigs. So I'm just saying nothing wrong with weaves or wigs. Whatever floats your boat, I think that, you know, us having access to all different styles is a beautiful thing. But the issue was is that she felt so intimidated and so self-conscious about even showing her natural hair to anyone that she dates, to her friends, to her family. She just refuses to do that. And so part of our work together was getting her to a place where she can now step out of her house and wear her natural hair. And I know that was significant in our work together. I would suspect that in your work that you have come across folks that perhaps were in similar places in their lives, or that they struggle with developing, you know, a sense of appreciation for their natural hair. Do you have any experience or any stories or any, you know, advice that you would give to people that, you know, might need to utilize therapy in that process?
I haven't had too many experiences with that, and I'm very careful with that. One, I do model natural hair. And by being a therapist who I wear my hair natural for the most part, I do protective styles here and there. But for the most part, my hair is natural and not straightened. So I have had clients who've been inspired to go natural themselves, but what I do, I bring it up in therapy, or we work with that if that's a goal for them.
Mm-hmm.
Like with your client, that was her goal. And I haven't had anyone who has really had that as a goal at this point. I've had clients who've been natural and they're already very comfortable in that, or clients who, do wear weaves or relaxers and they're happy with that.
Mm-hmm.
I will say that in one instance, there was one that was inspired by me and did attempt to go natural, but didn't quite do it entirely, ended up just going back to the perm.
Okay. All right.
So.
Yeah. Okay. So, and I brought that up because I thought it was interesting that, that was a goal for her and that, mm-hmm. These roots, right? So mm-hmm. I'm going to go back to our show. We talked about colorism in a previous show, and we talked about kind of this narrative that we've carried about color. And I think that colorism and natural hair, I think that they kind of in some ways can mirror each other in
mm-hmm.
the idea of the way that, we've been socialized to think about our natural hair, the way that we've been socialized to think about our skin tone. And I know that there's stuff there. That stuff is deep, and it has come from, years of slavery and oppression and all that stuff that we talked about in our colorism show. And, thinking about, someone that is a dark-skinned woman and someone that has natural hair, and a dark-skinned woman that has natural hair that has a very kinky coarse texture hair. Thinking about that and feeling confident about yourself, knowing that the ideals of beauty, the beauty standards, are everything opposite than that. How mm-hmm. how can we as a culture, embrace that more, that just like, colorism exists, but that all shades are beautiful, and that texturism exists, but all texture is beautiful. How do we grow as a culture and become more accepting?
It's I think that we have to be really honest. We have to be real about this. It's not easy. It's really not easy because we're in a culture where, again, that Eurocentric look is what's seen as ideal. And every time there is a natural hair movement, I feel like there's also a Eurocentric or a unnatural hair movement that pushes back even harder. Because let's think about why that is. And that's something that I would encourage clients who have natural hair as a goal, or clients who are struggling with this is what I would encourage them to think about. It's all about money. It's not even really about
mm-hmm.
our hair. It's about money. And what generates the most money? Well, relaxers, mm-hmm. because whoever makes the relaxers, whoever sells the relaxers. Weaves and wigs are big business. I just watched a documentary on weaves and just kind of watched what people go through to get the hair. I mean, traveling internationally, there are women in Asia who sell their hair, women in India who donate their hair. It's big business, huge business. Also the products to maintain, and then hairdressers, hairstylists. Mm-hmm. And hairstylists, it's a lot easier for the ones who deal with relaxed hair, because when the hair is relaxed, every hair is the same. But with natural hair, our hair is like snowflakes. So the hairdresser has to be able to do each type of hair texture. So it's about money. And I think that's mm-hmm. one way of kind of looking at it and kind of understanding that it's not that our hair isn't beautiful, because it is, but it's about being in a capitalistic society. So And again, you know, surrounding ourselves with that natural hair community is so important. Just really speaking those affirmations to ourselves are important. And then also, mm-hmm. let's just think about it deeper. This is how God made our hair naturally. Now, some okay. people have been, unfortunately, brainwashed to believe that our hair is a curse or it's a mistake or, you know, we're somehow the cursed race. I think we were told that at one point. Well, I mean, let's really think about it and really research that. Our hair is energy. It holds energy, mm-hmm. and it attracts energy. It grows upward toward the sun and toward what else? Toward God.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you know, when you really think about it in a deep manner, when you really get deep, you can't help but appreciate what God has given. And, you know, you got to think about it. Let's look at the Bible. Let's look at the book of Judges. Samson's strength was in his hair, his seven locks.
Mm-hmm.
Samson did yeah. not have a long ponytail that was flowing in the wind. And I know that the movies will portray him as a Caucasian mm-hmm. man with long, lustrous Pantene hair, but he had seven locks. Let's think. Let's think about that, y'all. Seven locks.
Locks.
And when he lost, when his locks were cut off, he lost his strength. So that lets us know that there's strength and there's energy and there's spirituality in our hair. So that's the type of stuff that we have to remind ourselves when we think about, okay, you know, maybe I should hide my hair. I'm not saying that you shouldn't wear a protective style here and there to grow your hair out. I'm not, you know, opposed to doing that, but when you have to wear a wig or a weave all the time that might be damaging your scalp or damaging your hair, then that's the time to really get deep and think about the blessing of our hair.
I swear, if I had a mic right now, I would drop it right now. You have just given us a word, and I'm so glad that you took us back because, ooh, yes, this is the stuff that people need to hear and people need to understand. And so, thank you so much for sharing that. And you know, you talked about you know, and I'll say this, you know, if you want to wear, like you said, protective styles, braids, weaves, whatever, you know, that's personal preference. I think that when it becomes problematic is when we're wearing that because we are uncomfortable with what is growing out of our scalp or when we are choosing to hide what's underneath our scalp. I think that is when it can be problematic. And so, you know, women, we have the luxury of having versatility and we can rock different hairstyles and we can, you know, get a weave or we can get our hair braided or we can get crochet or we can get, you know, there's so much out there and it's a beautiful thing. But I really want folks to understand that this is not that. This is about, can you be okay with you? Can you be okay with the hair that's coming out your scalp? And so I think that what you just said helps us to really maybe, you know, for the listener that you know, might be struggling with the idea of love and self-acceptance, being able to know that this comes from, you know, this biblical underpinnings when it comes to our natural hair.
Mm-hmm.
I did hear you also talk a little bit about, you know, even like affirming and affirmations. I might want to touch on that a little bit about affirmations and maybe how we can use that into building self-confidence because I really want listeners to understand how they can, you know, love themselves and love their naturalness. But we do have to take a pause. Before we do, can you tell listeners again how they can get in contact with you?
Okay, wonderful. I can be contacted via my website, and that's www.synergywellnesstherapy.com. And I'm also on Facebook, and that's DSorrell, at DSorrell. My business page is at Synergy Wellness Therapeutic Services. And then you can follow me on Instagram at Deidre Sorrell.
All right, don't you go anywhere. We will be right back. Welcome back to Couch Conversations. We are in our third and final segment of the show today, and we've been talking to Dr. Deidre Sorrell, and she has been giving us lots of things to think about, lots of insights about natural hair. She has been very transparent in sharing her journey of natural hair and giving us feedback on how we can also feel good about ourselves. And I really want us to kind of end this segment talking about self-acceptance. And one thing that was mentioned by Dr. Sorrell was affirmations. And I do think that affirmations are a great way of us of building our self-confidence and self-esteem. So perhaps say a little bit about how someone might use self-affirmations to accept themselves and to feel good about their natural hair.
Well, I think it's important to find an affirmation that really speaks to you and really makes you feel really good about what's growing out of your scalp and your natural skin tone and everything, your body, everything about who you are. And, you know, if you look to the Bible, to a Bible verse, like I am fearfully and wonderfully made, or if you want to look for other affirmations that speak to you, I think that it's important. I follow people on Instagram who give affirmations. I mean, they post other things, but they will throw out an affirmation. One therapist that I can think of is Spirit. She gives wonderful affirmations. And then there are other people who give affirmations about hair. There are popular YouTubers like Natural 85, My Natural Sisters. They speak these affirmations here and there. They do more hair tutorials, but it's just being able to find someone on social media or some sort of website or something in a book like the Bible or something else, whatever your holy book is, to really find something that helps you to, to affirm who you are and what you look like.
Yes, I love it. And you're right that, one of the benefits of having social media is that we are connected to other folks that that can provide us with lots of positive affirmations and positive feedback about natural hair. And the natural hair community has grown and it's continuing to grow. And I think it's amazing that, we have come a long way. We do have some ways to go, but we have come a long way into really, accepting and joining in this movement. And I think it's such a beautiful, beautiful thing. My last question for you would be, what do you love most about being a natural hair woman?
I just love my curls, Now, I'm not going to say I don't have bad hair days, but when my hair is moisturized and it's really, just shining and just doing everything that it wants to do, I love it. I love my curls. I have very thick hair, and it is hair that holds a nice shape. And I have a few highlights in it, and it really gives it some really nice definition, not definition, but depth, complexity in terms of the color. So I love it. I love the fact that I can twist my hair around my fingers and get a nice coil. I love the fact that I can put it in a nice high ponytail. If I want to straighten it, then it looks a lot longer, so it looks completely different. the versatility is wonderful, and I just love how healthy my hair is. Mm-hmm. My hair was not this thick when it was relaxed. My scalp mm-hmm. was a lot. My scalp was very damaged. I had burns in my scalp every time I would get a relaxer. I was losing hair. My, you know, people talk about edges being laid. Well, there was one point I look at one of my honeymoon pictures. My edges were very, very very sparse. I mean, I was losing my edges. So now that my hair is natural, I have edges upon edges upon edges. So it's just a beautiful thing to be natural.
Okay, and y'all, I will co-sign. Her hair is really beautiful, and I often will look at pictures, and, you know, I'm always like, oh, my God, your hair is so gorgeous. I've shown your hair to my husband, like, look at her hair. And, you know, whenever I see someone with natural hair and I always, you know, will show it to my husband, like, look at her hair. And so I really, really, really love your hair. I think it's beautiful.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And so is yours, because, you know, you're my hair goal as well. I look at your hair, and I'm like, oh, it's so defined. It's so beautiful.
Thank you so much. So I know we're giving all these, you know, positive accolades, and this is what we should be doing, right? That we should love each other's hair and love on each other, because, you know, it's not competition, but it's, you know, we're all in this, and I love that we had this conversation. But we do just have a few more moments left. So before we end the show, I want you to tell our listeners if you have any upcoming products, or if you have any projects coming up, or anything that you, any lasting words that you might want to leave them with.
Sure. So I'm actually working on a few things. I have a mental health expo coming up. Actually, next month, because this is August. So the Mental Health Expo is on September 8th. It's in Maryland. It's in Waldorf, Maryland. It's at the Waldorf Culture Center, and it's free to everyone. And this is an expo that is aimed to reduce the stigma and educate the community about mental health. So there will be vendors, but there will also be other mental health providers with screeners, free screeners, and discussions about all things mental health. So come on out. If you're interested, please get on Eventbrite on their website or use their app and type in Mental Health Now Expo and get your ticket. And if you want to be a vendor, then, you know, just go ahead and buy a vendor package. It's really easy. That vendor tables are only $50. If you have a good business that really has something to do with health and wellness and positivity, please be a vendor. I'm also an author. I've written 3 children's books that I'm promoting very heavily. I'm an independent author, and my books really speak to difficult subjects that children face in life, especially these days. So my first book is called The Germ, How to Talk to Kids About Racism and Diversity. I have another book called The Hole in My Heart, and that's about parental loss and abandonment. So that's a good book for children who are dealing with divorce or an absent parent. And then I have a book called Giving Up Is Not What's Up, and that's a children's book that promotes wellness and suicide prevention. Many of our babies are choosing to end their lives, and it's very discouraging, but these numbers are rising, especially in the African-American community. So this book, it helps to just really start the discussion about just resilience and hanging in there through tough times. So all of my books can be found on Amazon. So if you go to Amazon, just type in my name, Deidra A. Sorrell, that's Deidra A. Sorrell, and my books are $10. So please buy one, buy five, buy as many as you can, and give them out, because these are books that are very important for just issues that many of our children are facing but aren't talking about.
All right. Well, I'm just so impressed. I think that, if you've listened to our show today and if you've listened to our show on colorism, you know that Dr. Sorrell is a very wise, intelligent, and she offers a lot of really great information. So definitely go to her page, her website. Also, go get on Amazon and get those books, because I tell you that our kids can really benefit from her book. So thank you so much, Dr. Sorrell, for being a guest. As always, it has been a pleasure having you on the show.
Thank you so much for having me. This has been a wonderful, wonderful time. I've enjoyed it.
Oh, all right. So, we're at the end of our show. And to my listeners, I thank you so much for tuning in to another show, Couch Conversations. I'm your host, Shanika Moore Clark. I would love to connect with you. And if you would love to connect with me, I invite you to visit me on social media. You can find me on Instagram at Shanika Moore, LICSW, SHENIKKA MOORELICSW, or you can also find me on www.goldenlifecounselingandcoaching.com. Be well. And until next time, be good.